This is an interview for the Western Sydney Women's Oral History Project, From Farms to Freeways, Women's Memories of Western Sydney. This interview is taken with Mrs. Mavis Lamrock, and the date is the 8th of October 1991.
For River Road, Emu Plains. The date of my birth was the 11th of January 1913 in Wauchope. Yes, I am married, and for 54 years, we hope we can make some more years. I am an Australian, sixth generation on my mother's side, fifth on my father's, and we have four children, all married, and nine grandchildren.
Now, first of all, I'll ask you about your period of residence in the area. When did you actually come to live in the Penrith area?
We came back from Wauchope in May 1914, when I was about 18 months old. So I've been here a long time.
And you lived in this on this property?
Yes, I lived in Yodalla, in Emu Plains, which was well known in the district because my parents used to have so many functions there. So that when Father sold the property, I insisted the name be taken off.
Ah.
I didn't want anyone else to use it, because it had such an identity.
And was that near here?
Yeah, on the other end of the property.
Right. And how big was the property altogether?
25 acres.
Oh. And then you lived here as a young child?
Yes.
And what was it like then in those days?
It was lovely. We didn't have any electricity, but we had what's called a Gloria light system, which you lit a mantle for. And there wasn't any water laid on. It was all pumped from the river with a windmill.
Oh.
We grew practically everything we ate, even dried fruits.
Really?
Yes. And the baker used to come with a cart and deliver the bread. And the butcher would bring the meat round in his cart without any ice. And strangely enough, there were no flies. That's always been stuck in my memory.
There are flies now.
Yes. We had an ice chest, but if we wanted anything to get really cold quickly, it was let down the big well in a bucket on a rope.
Really?
So I loved it.
And this would have been, how old would you have been at this time you're talking about?
Oh, I suppose I'd remember all this from about the time I was six.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sort of servant's wing at the back in the cellar, which kept all the preserves and the salted meats. And it was.
Did your parents build the house?
Oh, no, it's old.
It was an old house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you went to school from there?
Yes,
child?
We all went to the primary school. My parents were great believers in going to the school because you all lived on the same level. As I might have said earlier, I felt we were privileged because we always had everything. But then we all went on to other schools.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to walk across through the park. Both parks had, I don't know if you've been through Emu that way, have you?
No.
Park on each side of the road. Both parks had grazing rights, but there was never a bull in them, and I think that's why we were allowed to walk always across the park.
How far did you have to walk to school?
Oh, just across this park up here.
So it wasn't far?
No. But it was a very big thing in my time when I was eventually allowed to take my lunch. I used to go home.
Every day?
Yes, mm-hmm. And I didn't like that. I wanted to be like all the others.
And were there many other houses here at that time?
No, there was our house, one known as Shepherd's, it's at the end of the park called West Bank. And then there wouldn't be any other houses until down near the railway. And on the southern, I suppose you call it the southern side, there was one that was called the Melrose, now the Lewis Gallery.
Oh, yes.
And the next one was a house that who had an orchard. The Gattell's house, and then the Huntington Hall guest house, which I think was the home of a former premier. And Mr. Shepherd, one of our friends, always wondered why he received a bottle of whiskey from this man every year. I forget his name. And when the house was sold, they discovered a still under the staircase. We thought that was great fun.
Maybe so. And what did your parents do? What sort of occupation did your father have?
Well, my father came down because he was having a nervous breakdown. We had a lot of business interests at Warhave and decided to plant this with citrus, which he did. And the property included the which was called Factory Lane, which came across from Penrith, but it was called a factory because Rayners had their tweed factory on that particular 5 acres. And I can remember getting a border from the factory taken away. But Father put that all into lemons, which were sold completely to Tooth Lemonade. And then, in 1924, my father went to a meeting in Sydney that he had shares in, and it was very much in debt, and he asked so many questions. Someone said, "Who is this Mr. Hunter?" "Am I on this?"
Yeah.
And he became the managing director, and in 3 years he had paid every debt. And he was there till he was about 73, so that was a long time.
Mm.
So we sort of had both lives.
Mm-hmm. And did he travel to Sydney?
Yes,
every day.
Mm.
By train or?
Yes.
Really? Mm. And you went to school in this area?
Yes, in Penrith there was a private school, St. Stephen's private school, with the church.
The old church,
yes.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful headmistress, and I loved her dearly. She had been, which was a long time ago, she was Ducks of Sydney Girls High, which in those days was really something.
Yeah.
I used to ride into school. I don't think anyone had raincoats in those days. They weren't sort of in. An umbrella, and I just ran through ride through the rain with my blazer and hat on, and come home and get changed. And
you used to ride your bicycle,
yes,
all that way.
Mm. And in my time of riding, the road was sealed.
Oh.
And on the area that is now Woodruff Gardens, just across the river,
yes,
bridge from here, my grandmother had a lovely brick home which they took down to build the Captain Cook dinner's place, and on the very corner was a Chinaman who grew all kinds of vegetables, and anything you really didn't grow at home, my mother would get into the sulky and I would probably be with her, and we'd go over and he'd just pick the things as you wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great life.
Different to shopping today.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, shopping was different then. You'd go into the one store in Penrith, we had a very small store here.
Mm-hmm.
And attached to it was an assembly hall made of stone. It's still there, it's now a photographic shop. But everything was held in that place, from weddings to all the school concerts.
Really?
I was so angry when I was about four. The primary school teacher asked if I could go in the concert as a baby because I had very curly short hair. And to think I was a baby. I went in it, but I've never got over it.
You felt very grown up at four.
No, yes, I didn't want to have that at four. I wasn't a baby.
And what was the feeling like riding on a bicycle to school? I suppose it was just open fields.
Yeah, yes, well, you weren't at all afraid of anything. Mm. I suppose there wasn't anything to be afraid of.
Mm.
But I loved the life. I'm sorry that the young people don't have it now. We made all our own fun. My sister and I slept upstairs in a very big attic. It was about 20 feet long and had three windows. But we only had candles and mosquito nets, and why they didn't go up in flames, I'll never know.
Mm.
But,
you had electricity, but you didn't have
No,
it
we
up
didn't
there.
Know there was no electricity. Oh. We had this light, the Gloria light. Later on, my parents bought an engine, and in the cellar, it was put in the cellar, and we had electricity of our own.
Mm-hmm.
And but it wouldn't take anything more than, say, an electric iron. I don't think we could use a jug, but we had lights, and if they were going dim, my father would say, Norman, go and start the pump up. But of course, this didn't make us very popular with the local people because they didn't have it. And then when my father fought the electricity coming here, they said that it was just because he had it, but it wasn't. He wanted it in a better way at a cheaper rate, and we eventually got it. They lived to thank him, but still.
They had electricity in the middle of Penrith earlier, didn't they?
Yes, but it used to go off at 12 o'clock. And when the radio came on, Father had a big one built with about a 40-foot cord, which meant he could take it out onto our front veranda. We had a very big lawn, and people could come and sit and listen to the opera started about that time coming out here. But ordinarily there was an interval from 9 till 9:15 while the announcers had spilled.
As a child, what sort of recreation did you have here apart from listening to the radio?
I suppose we were always playing some sort of games. I had a brother who was not quite 3 years old and cousins who lived close by. And it was always fun. I was very happy to go out sometimes, and my mother didn't know about it. We used to take our shoes and socks off and follow where the earth was turned back and was beautifully cool, but we'd get them on again before we came.
And living near the river, did you swim in the river?
Not a great deal, because we had seen too many tragedies in it. Mm. It has very bad currents. It still has, but warm, cold, and so on. Mm. And I can remember sitting on the fence, which was the other side of the road, because in those days the property title went to the middle of the river. Mm. And I can distinctly remember one occasion sitting there watching the police grapple for, you know, these used big irons. There were no divers.
So after you finished primary school?
I went to Miss Lennox's St. Stephen's School, and I was even at primary, I was allowed away one day a week to go to the conservatorium.
So you're musical too?
No, I didn't like it. My sister was such a wonderful pianist, but I think it put me off. Anyhow.
And did you go to high school there?
Well, I went as far. No, I didn't. I don't think they had the high school then. Mm-hmm. That's a very long time ago. Because I think I left when I was about 17. That's a long time ago. But the CWA started here, and I was a foundation member, but I wasn't old enough to join, so they didn't know what to charge me, so I paid two shillings a year. And as young people, we got a bit tired of this, so we formed what was called a Jollity Club, and we worked exclusively for the hospital and the pool.
That was as a teenager?
Yes, and it was still going after I was married, because I was president of it. But, then we just got into... We were married in 1937, and one of the local people asked my father if he would have a lights put outside the little old St. Paul's Church. It was the first evening wedding. It was at 6:45, and people wanted to be outside because only the guests could get in. It's such a little church.
So they didn't have evening weddings before
no.
that? Interesting.
Yes.
And so when you when did you actually come to live here? It was after you were married.
Yes. We were married in 37, September 37, and we lived with my parents while this house was built, which was about 6 months. Then we came down to live here.
And this was part of your parents' property?
Yes. Subsequently, my father divided the property up, and he gave us a strip from one road to the other. So that we had.
So how many acres would you, or what size would this plot have been?
Well, I couldn't say exactly, because Father had to alter it, because I'd built here and it wasn't exactly in the middle of a strip, and we had to get a bit each way.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So that had to be altered.
But it's a fairly large
Well, it
plot.
Was, I suppose. Mm. Well, we have two daughters living that side and one daughter that side. We kept the frontages when it was subdivided, and their son lives at Leonie.
That's close by.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And So this house is built of brick, is it? Or?
Yes, it's double brick. It's not veneer. And when we came in here, we had the first all-electric home in the district.
Really?
So other people, my parents, I think Brian's parents had stoves, but we had the first hot water service and first eventually electric pump, and so that we didn't realise that this, but we still didn't have a refrigerator. My parents did, but we still had ice.
Did you?
Mm. Mm. And
what about vacuum cleaners and that sort of thing? Did you?
No, I didn't. No. Oh, wait a minute, I can't remember. I think mostly in those days we had carpet sweepers, which were very, very effective.
And when you came to live here, when you built your own house, was it still very much in the middle of the orchard?
Oh yes, we didn't take any trees out until they died.
Oh.
So that's why nothing is planned in this garden. But it was an interesting time. I think we had to work harder. I know here I didn't have a washing machine, but my sister did, so we'd take the washing up and do it at her place. Otherwise, we had a copper.
Where did your sister live?
On the corner opposite the corner of this property.
Mm-hmm.
And that lane is called Hunter Street because of my father.
And so you had family all around you in your early married days.
Yes, and no neighbours, and that's what we've found very hard to get used to. Because as time went on, the developers bought up all the properties, the rates became too high, and we were not producing from them by that stage. And
when you say you found it hard to get used to, you mean to get used to having neighbours?
Yes.
After, yes.
We were used to just being along the river ourselves. Mm.
And how did that make you feel when people started?
Well, I didn't like it. And when my brother came down and looked at all these roofs between our house and our old home, Yadella, which we could see from upstairs, he said, "I don't like it." And I said, "Neither do I." But it was a lovely place to grow up in, and other people are finding the same thing. So when our children grew up, our first child was born after war was declared.
Oh.
And then we had the three girls. They wouldn't take my husband at all because I think it wasn't health-wise. I think it was because they didn't have any other solicitors, a resident anywhere. And he fought, they even went to the Prime Minister to try and get into the Air Force, but they wouldn't take him.
So you had your three children fairly close together, did you?
Yes, 2 years and then 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
And our second daughter often has said to us, "Why aren't there any songs and things from that you remember from when I was young?" And I said to her, "It is because it was the darkest time of the war, the Coral Sea Battle. My husband had to get petrol from the police to drive me down to George V.
To Sydney.
And leave the car there, and everything was blacked out. We had to go down with hooded lights, and then we came home. He had to get petrol to come home.
Really? So there was no hospital close by?
No, you? Not here. Well, there was a general hospital, but no, there wasn't. Not till after our third daughter was born.
Mm.
And then my husband managed to talk the very old board members into having a maternity section added to the old hospital. And then as time went on, of course, he, against their wishes, bought a very big tract of land where the new hospital is. And he was the chairman at the time. So we had the transition from one hospital to the other.
And so you had your son much later on,
yes,
at that hospital, did you?
And now I had him at the old hospital in the new maternity section,
mm-hmm,
which means that he always tells everyone he was born in a geriatric hospital, because that's what it is now.
And did you planned your family, did you, the three girls?
Well, yes. And then Adrian was a special gift.
A special gift later.
He was a special gift because at 2 weeks he very nearly died and he was taken to Crown Street. Yes. And he had the professor, I can't remember his name, he was later knighted, looking after him. He was baptised the day he went in because the Archbishop was a friend of my parents. And he always said, Mrs. Lamrock, when your baby is born, I would like to baptise baby. So we phoned him from Crown Street and he was on his way home in a flying boat from Lord Howe Island. And he went home, had a cup of tea, then came and fully robed, he went into this ward where we couldn't go, and he baptised the baby, or christened the baby, out of a medicine glass, and we didn't hear what he said and we couldn't see the baby. But when he came out, he said, Mrs. Lamrock, my brother had a similar thing in his family. Now, when your baby is better, when he is better, I will come up and receive him into the church. He didn't say if,
when.
He just said when. And that carried me like that. And he did, he came up.
With a nice positive.
Yeah, nice positive feeling.
Mm. Ah. So you must have felt a bit isolated here from the medical point of view too, did you?
No, we had good doctors in Penrith,
mm-hmm.
Very good doctors. Mm-hmm. There were only two until after the war. And then, of course, now we have so many, I wouldn't know.
And when you didn't have any close neighbours at all, that didn't give you a feeling of isolation?
Not at all, no.
You enjoyed it?
Not when you're a member of a big family.
No.
And it makes you pretty selfish, I think.
And after the war, I suppose a lot of people moving into the area were... Some of them would have been people from Europe too?
Not so many. No, they were mostly young couples coming out to live and have their families here. We called it the population explosion because there were 14,000 here.
When would that have been? That would be at the end of the war, 45?
It would have been later. Mm. Can't remember quite when the developers came. They would get one property and develop that and then get another one, but they gradually got all the properties.
And did you feel that encroaching suburbanisation?
Yes, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realised that it's a lovely area. And we now have, I think, three primary schools, a Catholic school and a high school.
In Emu Plains?
Where we just had this little one.
And did you have a lot of pupils at that school?
When you were there? No, there were not many, and when three girls were there, we couldn't get a third teacher because we had to go around asking people to send youngest children to get 100 pupils.
Goodness. And did your three girls go to the same primary school that
yes,
you went to?
Yes, and their
to?
Son.
And your son?
Yes. Mm. Then they all went on.
And when your son was, how many years... between your son and the last girl?
10 years.
Mm. So when he was growing up, it would have been quite a bit different.
Very different.
In the area.
Different in various ways because there are a lot more people there. Mm-hmm. We were able, I suppose, to do more for him, but we also realised that with so many women in the house, he had to go to boarding school. So he went to King's. He went there for a year, day boy, because his father had been there, and then he boarded for 5 years. But we had quite a number of service things in the district. I suppose the most active women's thing was the Country Women's Association, and it took in everything. If there was a baby born anywhere and didn't have clothes, my sister and I drove mother. We almost didn't like the word country, the name Country Women, because it so dominated our life for a while, but there was a lot of good done by that. A hall was bought, Mother was one of the guarantors, and they established a health, that's where the health clinic started.
Ah.
And my husband and I think, didn't have any children. We weren't even married, but we had to go down and buy the scales, and it was gradually assembled, and now, of course, it's quite an asset. We were able to go to it when our children came.
And the clinic still runs today,
oh, yes.
Does it?
Mm.
And what about dental services? Did you
yes,
have dentists here?
Yes, we always had dentists in Penrith, not here. This was very much a village.
This here in Emu Plains?
Emu Plains was a village.
So for any shopping of any magnitude, you'd have to go to Penrith?
Yes, we'd have to go there. Mm. And then as time went on and the road was put in, one of the big grocery firms from Penrith used to send round every week and you had your order ready.
Mm-hmm.
You gave it to the man and it was delivered. That was
wonderful.
Great. It really was wonderful. And we had a manual exchange, of course, for the phone. And our eldest daughter had a great habit. It was low down, going in and picking it up and talking to the telephonist, and we had to move the phone.
And did you have the sewer on here?
No, we had septic. We didn't even have a septic tank when our eldest daughter was born. We had the outside toilet, but we were having it done. And the sister who was here, because I had her at home, she used to help my husband wheel the bricks.
And that was the sister who was your sister or
the
nursing
sister?
No, the
nursing sister, yes.
Mm-hmm. And
that was in 1940.
1940. So you had her here to help you with the baby.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I suppose having the family all around you, you had plenty
yes,
of support.
Yes, and in those days you could have a live-in maid,
mm-hmm.
uniform and all.
Really?
Build the table, build it beside the bed, but those days are gone forever,
I think. And so you had plenty of help then in the house?
In those days, yes. And then there were periods when between maids that you had to do things, but then we managed.
So what would your daily routine have been with when the children were small? They got themselves to school?
No, we took them to school.
Did you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Until they got
until
older.
Until they were old enough to ride their bikes. Yeah.
Yes. And I suppose it was a normal routine in the country. How we had time, I think now, I don't know, because we usually had something for breakfast, porridge and eggs and whatever. Even when our children went to PLC and all travelled and left at 7:30, we managed all these things. And there were no cut loaves and freezers, and we cut their lunches every day.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have to get up at 6 when they were catching trains. But as soon as Wendy, the eldest, turned 17, we had another car so that she could take the old car and drive down to the railway station and drive back at her night.
You need a car in this area?
Yes, well, we had to have two as time went on, because my husband took it to the office every morning.
Mm.
And, otherwise, till we had a second car, I used my parents'.
And did you do shopping yourself in Penrith, or most things were delivered, I suppose?
Oh, no, that was only a period. Then we'd have to go into Penrith to buy things.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember when. In my early memory of Penrith, it had the awnings all over it and hitching posts.
Mm-hmm. For the horses?
Yes. It's really been a lot of change in my time.
And how did you feel when all those old shops were demolished and replaced by the buildings?
Well, they were
today?
Done. It was very gradual.
Mm-hmm.
The awnings, I think, when first it would have been a council decree, I suppose.
Mm.
And then they turned the Penrith primary school into an intermediate high school. But after that, anyone who wanted to go to high school would have to go to at least to Parramatta, to the Parramatta High School or some private school.
And the shopping area, when did that actually start to become more like what it is today? That had been more in the 60s?
Well, yes, I think so. Mm. Yes. The plaza.
Do you find it how does that affect you? Now, do you find it easier to shop now? Or
well, yes. I don't go to Sydney unless I have to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because of walking. I walk with the stickers outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a wheelchair, which I won't take. But you can get most things here.
Mm-hmm. And did you find do you find going into shop in Penrith not as pleasant as it was in the old days when it was less?
No, I think it's more interesting
crowded.
Because there's more selection.
Mm-hmm.
I can even get shoes there now, which is to me very
good.
You
couldn't before?
No, not really. Mm-hmm. Although we did have a shoe shop in Penrith that was opposite where the where'd it be now? Nearly everything's gone. It'd be on the eastern side of the post office anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Post office up a bit. And opposite, you would get a lot of shoes there, school shoes and things, but opposite was, first of all, it was an open-air picture theatre, and then it was a picture theatre, but I think they had to have an interval too.
With the projectionist?
So, yes.
Mm.
But,
would that have been the old Avon Theatre?
Oh, no, before that.
Before that?
Yes. Mm. That was before the Avon, it was called the Dungown. And was built by a man called Horseman who had lived in Manly, and the Dungown there had been built. So he came up here and built the Dungown here.
And did you do a lot of cooking and making preserves and that sort of thing, like country women
to? Well, I suppose I didn't do the preserves and things as I got older. I might have helped cut up figs or something for jam, but everything was preserved in those days.